The interviewee is Kay Schwartz. It is February 7th, 1995. The interviewer is Carrie Gorfinkel. Okay, I have, actually, I have a thing you're supposed to sign. Just to give it permission, give them permission to
use this. Whatever valuable information.
No, it will be, though. I'm sure. When you were involved, when were you involved with Union College, and who or what did you have the most interactions with?
Well, we came in 1956, and my interactions were with the physics department, because that's where my husband was a professor, and the physics department was a very close department, which was very nice for all of us. I think we kept very good track of ourselves and the students.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, the college really did a lot more interacting between departments, I think. I think the men did. This was obviously before women.
Right.
And I think the women in those days, many of them were not working outside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And we did much more, we felt much more related to the college, I think, than the spouses do now,
either jobs,
male or female spouses.
Yeah.
So that we knew what was going on down there. I think, really, I was thinking about it before you came some, and I think that one thing that the women did, because we did interact among ourselves, was to keep the whole college a little more related. The men also, I think, crossed departments more. They had coffee together instead of each in their own coffee.
Yeah, in their own
place, office.
Lounges.
But,
yeah.
In those days, they used to go over to Hale House and so on. So that it was a combination of interaction, which I think was really great, because
yeah,
all the departments were kind of related. But I think the physics department probably was special. People told us, we thought it was, but other people said so too, because we were a close department. The physics department used to go off, for instance, for a weekend up in the Adirondacks every winter. And this was, you know, just a
about
really
how many professors were there at that time?
Well, let's see, there were probably very much the same as now, 8
oh,
to 10,
uh-huh.
And most of them would go. Some would bring children, and some would leave children at home one way and another, and they were mostly active snowshoers or skiers or whatever, so that it was a really pulling together kind of thing, besides the picnics and the things like that. So that I think that that's one thing that was very, very good.
Wow.
We used to have students out to the house for supper, and that was always interesting, because we began early asking what they thought about co-education. Would they like to have women at Union? And we got a bit differing replies on that. So, I don't know if there are other things that occur to you you want to ask. That kind of is a good general rundown, I think.
Yeah, that is great. Well, you seem to like the experience and the people that you were involved with at Union.
Very much so.
Yeah, let's see. What was the all-male campus like, and were there many women on campus and many women faculty there?
There were almost no women faculty for years. When we first came, there was one, Barbara Rotundo,
mm-hmm.
who later went over to Albany she was here because her husband had been teaching and died very suddenly, young person, and I think that there was an attempt to find a place for her.
Mm-hmm.
She was a fireball, so it was great, you know. She was a fine.
Hi.
This is Carrie. This is Charlie.
Nice to meet you too.
So I don't really think of any other women faculty for years.
Yeah.
It was.
And then did they start getting some women when it became co-ed as
right.
faculty?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about on campus in general? I mean.
Well, there was an awful lot of exodus to Skidmore and so on over. For the men,
mm-hmm.
I think. Not so many people had cars in those days.
Yeah.
They do now. But they still seem to find a way to go. And,
uh-huh.
There were, of course, all the women.
Was Skidmore all women or no?
Skidmore was all women until just about the time. I can't remember whether it changed at the same time as Union, but about the same time. And there were, of course, Russell Sage
right.
and RPI, so that it is a kind of a rich college
yeah,
area. And people circulated.
Mm-hmm.
So that we didn't have a student union. That was another thing we thought really we needed very much because there were the fraternities and women would come for the parties, but there was not a good place on campus for social mixing otherwise.
Mm.
And I think that was a real dampener in terms of women coming on
mm-hmm.
campus. Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Hmm. That's interesting. Well, you said that you were pretty active in life on campus since most of the wives didn't have other jobs back then. What type of things did you do exactly?
Well, I will qualify that. I will
okay.
say women were active
women
in the sense that I think they did do more on campus with things for students and for students' parents, you know, like when students in the fall, they would have brunch things for the parents as they brought their youngsters and
uh-huh.
so on. As you can see, I have a mobility problem,
right.
and this has been true. I had polio, so I was getting around on crutches in those days, and so the campus, unfortunately, is not very welcoming to people who have
yeah,
disabilities.
I know.
And so I could climb stairs with some difficulty, but I did not spend a lot of time on campus unless mm-hmm. I came in for organized things.
Yeah.
With, the women's faculty, women's group, and the Minerva was a more informal evening
mm-hmm.
thing. Faculty wives were more the older. Well, everybody joined in, though, at the beginning. It was good. It was a good way to get acquainted. But then the Minerva was a more active group of doing things, besides tea drinking and socializing. And then I was busy out in Burnt Hills, Boston Lake. We lived in those days. I was, when my children were old enough that
mm-hmm.
I had some time to do other things, I went back to school things that I had
yeah.
been trained for, and I didn't go back to full classroom teaching, but what I did was to start working with children with learning disabilities
mm-hmm.
and individual differences in math and things like that. So I was not full-time employed, but worked one-on-one and did in-service teaching for the teachers, trying to help them.
For the grammar school level? Or the
grammar school
yeah.
level. That's my, I believe mm-hmm. if you start down there, you really make a
make
difference.
Make a difference, I agree.
And so that was my choice, and before I came, I had done teacher training sort of things, and so it was nice that I had a way to
yeah.
do that here.
Great. How would you characterize most of the male attitudes, both students and professors, mostly students' attitudes, though, towards women at that time?
Was a mixture. And
oh, yeah.
as I say, we
like
used to ask them when they
right.
came out, and you would find some who said, you know, that's why we came here, we don't want them in class,
mm-hmm.
and so on. You'd find others who said, boy, I had no idea what it would be like to be with no women, because I went to a co-ed high school, and I had no idea it would be like this. and they really often wanted women. And there were some who said, well, they thought it would be fine. They didn't see any trouble with it, but it was a real mixture of sentiment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about the professors' attitudes about it? Did they want women students?
I think the physics people were very open to it. I think they were very independent wives. The other departments too, and again, I think you'd probably find a mixture, but I think in general probably more faculty were aware that it could be good, maybe, than students. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But certainly I know that the physics department people were really pleased to think that they would begin to get money.
What was, do you remember the first year that women actually were allowed to go to union? What was that like?
Well, I think it was hard for the women. I really do. I can't pinpoint this. Again, I didn't spend a lot of time in there, but we got currents back that they felt that there was some adjustment that needed to be made, we'll put it that way. And I think that some of the men were really miffed enough that they were not so welcoming. But then, again, there were plenty of others. And I think probably one of the things that may have worked on this is that men were used to going off campus to date.
Mm-hmm.
And so they still somewhat did, and that left the girls here saying, why not? You know, here we are. What's the matter with us?
And yeah.
Familiarity is not always the way that it built there at the beginning.
Yeah. When I was there at that time, there must have been just one residence hall where all the women lived, or how, do you remember?
There was more than one. Women came quite, it wasn't just a little trickle at the beginning.
Oh, it wasn't?
I don't think so.
No.
In my recollection, and Charlie may be able to help us on that, they didn't start with 10, 15 women. They started with quite
a few women. The whole big class.
Huh. It was a big time of change all over the country. Yeah. You know, everybody was switching over.
That's right.
And so,
the women, do you know if they lived separately, though, and residents, or did they live co-ed?
They weren't in co-ed dorms.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that was back in the day, still when people were very much in their own gender buildings.
Right.
And they were definitely grouped, you know. I kind of think Richmond, I think, was a women call.
Yeah.
And there was another one, but I can't tell you.
That's right. Yeah, I was just wondering though if they immediately were made into co-ed, because now there's so many co-ed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What if anything, did you have to do with the first women that were on campus? Did they ever tell you any stories, or did you ever...
Unfortunately, there were not very many women in the physics department.
Yeah.
And so I would say that at the first, I don't really think that there were very many people. And what year did actually the women start?
It was 1970.
Yeah. 70 itself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were, you know, as we had students out, there were gradually a few. But we didn't hear much about any gender problems. They seem to fit right in.
Yeah.
I think the physics department was always a relatively small department.
Right.
And maybe that was a help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for them. I can imagine engineering, or, you know, when there's such a small group of women now, I wonder, you know, being one of the only women in the department must have been.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that wasn't so bad when you think about it, because maybe people were looking out a little bit
That's true. Did they also have women that first year, the professors? Were there women professors hired that first year? Or
gee,
maybe?
I cannot tell you that. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's okay. No, I just wondered.
That's the trouble, you know. We look back over this long span of years, and it's hard to separate out.
It's a long time. Yeah, I know. What do you think were some of the most difficult things that the male and female students had to adjust to together?
Well, I think that the men were used to owning the place.
Yeah.
And so, in that sense, I think the women had to prove that they could hold their own, which is not always the easiest thing at the beginning, but on the other hand, probably made some of them a little more determined to hold their own, so that, again, all these things are so individual.
Yeah.
Some people slid in easily, and other people found it was harder because of the way their own self-confidence was, probably, because I think sometimes if your self-confidence isn't so good, then you tend to overcompensate or else shrink.
Yeah.
Where somebody who feels comfortable themselves with themselves
mm-hmm.
can kind of go along and
mm-hmm.
accept the way they want to fit in.
Yeah, or sometimes if you're so self-confident, then the men might think, you know, who does she think she is coming into this school?
It's interesting that when we would ask them before women came, why not? I think it was very clear that some of them feared the competition.
Yeah.
Which I think is very real, because I think the women are very good students.
Yeah.
Many of them. And so I think
that would be humiliating for them.
I think that that's something which took a lot of adjustment at the beginning. You all are so much further along in the balanced look at this, but that was early on.
Yeah.
And that's one reason that many women went to the women's colleges, because they didn't want to get into that kind of situation.
Yeah. I wonder if there were any major problems with sexual harassment and stuff in those days, where the women might have been so sensitive to it, or the men, I don't know, or if it was an issue even.
Well, there wasn't a lot of labeling of it.
Yeah, right, that's true.
And I think the other thing that probably is safe to say is that the whole mixing of male and female students reflected the fact that this was just getting to be very open in society.
Yeah.
I mean, what you realize 1970 is, 25 years ago. And a lot of changes have happened. If you asked about co-ed dorms, nobody would have even
thought of that.
At
I know
that
it.
Point. So that there was a lot more of traditional ways of behaving and dating and all this than you probably are used to now.
Oh yeah, definitely. There is hardly any dating at all now, it seems.
Right. Well, and at the beginning, that was a way of operating.
Right, yeah.
So you can tell that would make quite a bit of difference. And there was always talk about what went on at the fraternity parties. People were not happy about what they heard about that. And we had chaperones, back in those days. Which was not a job which was very much enjoyed by faculty people.
Were there like dorm mothers and stuff too?
Not. I think that
fraternity,
not so
maybe.
Much. It was more residents, I think.
Yeah.
In those days, but for fraternity parties, and I can't tell you just where in the years it shifted from
right
to the other. But.
Yeah, somewhere along the line. So. do you think that co-education changed the college, like in the classroom environment, or in, you know, the faculty's view on students?
Yeah, I would like to think so. It's very hard to separate out what happened at the college from what's happening in the whole broader society, because I think that all kinds of behaviors and mores have changed, but I would like to think Mm-hmm. That it was a sort of a civilizing thing that happened. And there are rough spots about harassment and so on, but I think that it's been good to have women on campus, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that there's a pretty good balance in the classroom as far as I mm-hmm. could tell. But
right.
Charlie retired in 79, so
right.
we've been off for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you haven't been a part of it for as long. Hmm. Did you notice the social environment change with co-ed? Or any way the college has changed as a result of women being admitted besides?
Well, I think it's changed a lot, and I think part of it is having a student center, because when we go down to go to a movie or something down there, it's neat to see
yeah.
everybody is in there together, and
yeah.
it is, I think, a much more normal kind of
right.
life than it used to be.
Yeah.
So
you were saying before people just congregated in fraternities and stuff? So.
Right. Well, there wasn't very much
yeah.
place. I mean,
yeah.
classes, and there was the Rathskeller,
right.
you probably heard about.
Yeah.
But that wasn't very much of a,
just
you know,
a little
only a small place.
Yeah.
And we just kept saying, why don't we have a student union? That's what you need. And so they mm-hmm. finally came through, and at first, I think that...
When was that... made,
boy, I can't really tell you, but it's not.
It seems
what,
pretty
is it,
new.
10 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Again, you'd have to check
somebody else with that.
But,
yeah.
And it was interesting because at first it took a little while before people began to really
use it
and warm up to it. And they
probably
put the
like
mailboxes
everything.
In there because it was trying to get people to
yeah.
come.
And a restaurant and stuff. Yeah.
So I think that's been a very good advance.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even imagine the school without it now.
Well, you can imagine
yeah.
what a hole it,
yeah.
it was.
It, yeah.
So. Charlie, you don't remember when the student union was done, do you? Yeah, I said, do you remember when the student union was done? Is it 10 years, maybe?
Must be just about that. It was certainly after I retired.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I know it's after.
So it was
yeah, well, I knew that.
Yeah.
About 10
years.
Years
ago, you're about right.
Anyway, you can
okay.
find that
somewhere
out.
In there.
Okay. Thank you.
But I think it made for much more socializing on campus. And
right.
of course, this probably came also with the fact that men and women were getting used to
each other
being there.
Yeah. Yeah, because there really isn't much now socializing off campus at all. I mean, with those schools you mentioned before, I don't think...
That's interesting,
yeah,
because with all the cars, I wondered sometimes
yeah.
how much going off again there was.
Yeah, a lot of students do have cars, but there is not much off-campus activity at all. It's
mm-hmm.
surprising. Yeah.
Oh, that's good to hear, because
yeah.
I think that's the way... It should be. In
yeah,
way.
I agree. There's some schools have the stereotype of being suitcase schools, or you know,
right.
but Union's definitely not. people hardly ever leave.
Where do you come from?
Massachusetts, so about 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And my freshman year and sophomore year, I tried to get home more,
mm-hmm.
but these years, you know, it's not as important to me.
Right.
You've
so.
Yeah, I've gotten used to
here.
It now that I'm leaving. So at first the women and men were pretty segregated, but then slowly but surely they seemed to warm up to each other.
I would say so.
Yeah. Let's see. A lot of these questions you've already answered in one way or another. So. But for the most part, most of your interaction was with the physics department, but you did also intermix with the other.
Right. Well,
the
women we had all faculty parties, believe it or not, like an international dinner where those were the days when people went off often to far places for sabbaticals, and so we had wonderful dinners where one group would do Japanese and one would do something else.
Like from where they were?
Right.
Oh.
Right. And so that it was another way that the faculty drew together, which is something which I think is harder now.
Yeah.
Partly because so many couples, both people work, and so they're...
Right, so...
Also, I think some of the tenure things are pushing people very, very hard.
Yeah, that's true. And the professors might also intermix with their spouses wherever they work.
Right.
So, yeah. You did socialize, though, with the professors and their wives, you know?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting group of people.
Yeah.
And one thing about Union is it was small enough, and I think still is, so that you can reach to a wide range. You don't have to be just in one little part of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And also ages, you know. And I think that was more true than it is now, from what I see myself and from what I hear.
That the ages and the
right.
Where
well,
people
you see,
are from
in those days,
too.
It was easier because we did have both sides of the couples mixing, so that it was easier to get to know people that way and so on. And also, I think that things like the faculty wives did mean that we did meet the older people. And then we had interest groups. That's another thing. I forgot them completely. There was a square dance group that was very active. We met at different people's houses and had soup, and everybody would bring their own sandwich, and then we would go over and square dance.
Huh.
And I went, believe it or not, but I didn't square dance. But that was a very active group. There were other groups that tried different things. I think there was a play reading group for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was, as I said, Minerva, which was a, I guess you'd call it a craft group.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was. I wasn't really sure.
Oh, okay. Well, it was called Minerva because of Union's good Minerva tradition.
Right.
And that was another group that reached across ages, and we did everything from making Christmas wreaths to doing leather pocketbooks to pottery.
Oh, wow.
It was just what people were interested in, and different wives would teach different sections or groups get together that were interested in a certain thing. So that was a lot of fun. Funny, these are things I haven't thought about for quite a while because they just don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
people still mourn the square dance group because that was quite a big, jolly group. Everybody enjoyed the visiting that went with that as well as the dancing. We didn't do complicated dancing because anybody could come, you know, you didn't have to go every time, so you didn't learn a whole lot of new things and perfect them, but everybody had fun.
We had
a great caller.
Oh, yeah?
And Bill Chatton, and so he kept us all.
Was he a professor or
no,
a real?
No, he was out from out.
He was,
we paid him.
Oh, that's
and
neat.
He enjoyed us as much as we enjoyed him, I think.
Yeah. And you did this at the school, and then you went to someone's house or whatever for the dinner? Oh, let's see, what else do I have here? So basically, the wives, were they most of them as involved as, were they all just as involved as everyone else, I mean, all the other wives, or did...
Great variety,
it depended.
But there was a lot of wife activity, and that the wives were doing things outside also. I mean, some of them were working. We had people who were teaching and so on. We had people like Edie Pilcher who helped to start the Thresholds program down at the jail. And
what's that?
Well, that's a, do you know anything about law, order, and justice down in Schenectady, the organization?
I don't think so.
Well, this is an organization which was started trying to help to backstop the criminal justice system. And Thresholds was, I think, the beginning group with that, where they taught decision-making courses in the jail to the inmates who wanted to do it, with the idea that you were probably there because you'd made bad decisions and you really needed to learn that you could make a difference by making a decision, and that if you didn't make it, you were still making a decision. You know, a lot of things we now know a lot more about than we did then. And that has grown to be a very important organization in Schenectady now. They have a bail fund and they have a released community service they supervise and